We're back.
Hi, we back. Episode 30. What?
Took a little break for the summer. Coming back in. Coming in hot.
So hot. It was like 87.
I know.
Today.
I think it's going to be hot like for all of September. I think we're going to start feeling the effects of climate change.
Yeah, I was telling someone like, oh, my tomatoes were really late this year. And they were like, well, it was all that rain in June that we got. That's not normal. We're going to be in the 90s in October. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't like that. Let's reverse that. Can we reverse that? Can it like be nice in June and
yeah, and it's like the extremes of it too. Like when it's rainy, it's really, really rainy. And then like when it's hot, it's.
Yeah, it was like sideways rain in June. Kaylee, what's going on? How are you? We're back. Let's kind of get the ball rolling. How many alcohol-free days do you have? And let's unpack our summers together.
Well, of course, I'm checking in real time. I'm 701 days. So 1 year, here's my little thing for the people who will see our video, as if it's even focusing. 1 year, 11 months, and 1 day. So 1-1-1.
Okay, that's so weird. I've been alcohol-free 611 days.
Oh, nice.
611. So that's 1 year, 8 months, and 3 days.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're going to like hit the point where a year ago we like started this whole journey and started the podcast. So it's going to be really cool to like a then and now sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went back and listened to episode 29, which was our last episode that we recorded. Mm-hmm. And you were 1 year and 8 months. So I am what you were today.
Oh my God, that's cool.
I know. Very cool.
Well, cute. Like, how has your summer been? How are you doing?
It's very loaded. Loaded question. So, what's going on? When we stopped recording, I had just let go of one of my social media clients. Mm-hmm. And I was really looking forward to some extra time in the summer. And I felt pretty busy still in June. And so I took a leap of faith and I decided to end my relationship with Reframe App and 1000 Hours Dry.
That's taking a lot off your plate.
Yeah, it was amazing. And those opportunities to work with them and to work on the forum and to create content for 1000 Hours Dry, it was like amazing. And I still love all of them and love supporting what they're doing, but I had been doing it for about a year and it was just time for me to have like my Thursdays and Saturdays back and kind of take some time and energy to pour into my project, right? The Dry Hard Pod. Mm-hmm. To like really focus on what you and I are doing and seeing if I can't channel some of that energy to the thing that we're creating together, because it's already been created for them, you know? And it, yeah, just felt good.
Yay.
To kind of rein that energy in. And then at the same time, I signed up for a 14-week program and a 7-day retreat in Kauai.
Yes.
So yeah, I am so excited to kind of jump into that and just spread some of the wisdom that I've picked up from there and really like take those practices and see them like alive in my life and watch how they unfold for me. And I can't wait to share with the pod my experience on retreat and all of that. So that's kind of like up until August. And unfortunately, when I got back from my retreat, my brother, who I've kind of talked about on the pod, he is in active use. He overdosed while I was gone and suffered 2 major strokes and memory loss. And so my family and I are like banding together right now to navigate that. You know, addiction is fucking real. And I wasn't really sure if I wanted to talk about it on the pod, but it's a part of my sobriety right now and a huge part of my life. So yeah, he's going to be okay. And I just have to trust that I can't take control of a situation and change it. It's not mine to do that with. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm definitely expanded and holding space for a lot of people, and my people are doing the same for me, which feels so good. And I feel better than I ever have about my community. And so, yeah.
Well, I think what's really impactful is that you're experiencing all of this and having to, you know, do what you can, but you're doing it sober, and so you're just capable of so much more for your brother in the time that he needs it the most. And I think that that's, you know, a positive part of a really shitty situation, though.
And totally. And I would love to do an episode at some point on like family dynamics and addiction, because I'm sure I am not the only one of anyone listening, and you yourself, like, who have had relationships that are affected by drugs and alcohol. And so that's where we're at. He's safe. He's at the hospital. That's all good. And he's getting the care that he needs and deserves. And I feel really grateful for that, because he's my little brother and it's almost his birthday. So he'll be 25 on September 6th. So, but otherwise, like, life was insane this summer. So good too. So much beauty. And we're painting our house right now, which feels really good. I used my reflector 29-day strategy and authority for that, and like picking out the color, and I've really waited and like taken my time, so very excited about that. And my daughter goes back to school, she's a seventh grader, and that is fucking wild. So
so crazy.
Yeah, just like gearing up for mom life and, you know, commuting and all the good stuff that comes with September.
Kind of hunkering down, getting all the ducks in a row, getting some projects, getting some things checked off the list, some organizing.
Yeah.
Good.
And we have some fucking huge things coming up for the podcast. We'll kind of hold those little nuggets off until the end of the episode. So yeah. Kaylee, what about you? Tell me about your summer so I stop fucking rambling.
Oh, no. Katie's been hustling and she's been like doing so much work. Yeah, I'm so excited for you to share with the listeners about like the retreat and, you know, the silent meditation and the dancing. There was like just so much that you were throwing yourself into and being so brave and like stepping into a lot of new stuff. And I've been chilling.
I love it.
But I am like, I'm doing more therapy now than I ever have. So even though I'm not doing like extra stuff on the side, and I can, you know, beat myself up for not doing as much personal work as I would want to, I have been therapying up this summer. So, I was previously going to therapy every other week, and now I'm going once a week, which is awesome. And then, just recently signed up for a different type of therapy, twice a month. So, just getting to talk to all the people about my thoughts and feelings, which is awesome. And oh God, this summer just felt good. The summer felt like lots of like healing inner child stuff. For my birthday, we got the Swimply, which is a app that I should basically be an ambassador for.
It's true.
Yeah, for real. Like, I've told so many people about Swimply. They should really start, like, I need a kickback. but you can rent like people's swimming pools. So I think I had three, and then I have another one coming up. That's a hot tub for the finale of The Bachelorette with some friends. So I've just like been in water. I did have some stuff come up at the tail end pretty recently where we had a camping trip that I had planned for like months and months. And I, you know, of course, was really stressed out, wanted everything to be perfect, wanted to make sure I like packed everything correctly, all that stuff. We show up, we'd like totally forgot pillows. thankfully, the campsite wasn't that far away, but just some stuff that has come up. And like when you start seeing those patterns of things like, oh, this is something that happens to me when I go camping, or this is something that happens in the summer. Like, how do I start rewriting this stuff? And it did feel like a little bit of like a magic dark summer, just with like some stuff going on personally that I've, you know, been wanting to take some steps to work on, and then being faced with having to navigate that. So I'll stop talking in like vague contextual language, but basically I went on this camping trip. You know, of course, even though I made a list and a spreadsheet, I forgot to bring things. And then the way to get down to the water is you have to skip over rocks and things are wet and you kind of have to like crawl down. And so it doesn't feel like super safe and secure. And since I've had my knee injury, I have really struggled with that and struggled with like trusting myself doing jumps. And I just kind of felt like everyone was having to wait for me and like literally hold my hand. And I have this huge shadow about being a baby and not being able to do things for myself and like needing other people to do things for me because I like am too dumb to figure it out or like, you know. So it just made me feel weak and not as able-bodied as everyone else. And that didn't feel good. And then every summer I kind of tell myself that it's going to be the summer that I feel super confident and secure in my body. And another summer kind of came and went and I didn't. And I was in Trader Joe's with Danny checking out and our friend had sent us some photos of me in a swimsuit from our camping trip and it ruined my day. And I was able to pick up a little bit faster, but I got back in the car and Danny was like, are you like spiraling right now a little bit? And I was like, yeah, this is really hard. This is like, I am not okay with the way that I look. And it's really hard to talk about it because I never want to come across. I know that when you say that you're unhappy with the way that you look, then people can be like, well, what does that mean? Then what do you think about me or things like that? And I really want to be clear that like, it's so personal and it's so embedded.
It's like, this is this is a body dysmorphia type relationship. This is not a like phobia or judgment.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you for saying that. So I just, and it's embarrassing. Honestly, it's embarrassing to talk about because it seems like such a suburban, you know, middle-class white girl problem.
Right.
That's me putting judgment on myself, you know? But it does hurt a lot for me and I am really tired and I'm really frustrated and it can definitely get me down and make me feel really sad and depressed and, you know, so I am really working through that and I'm focusing on therapy on like, yeah, body dysmorphia related healing and just really trying to kind of put my head down and just kind of focus on like what I can control, but also not trying to like control things to the point where we start to get into ED land because that is something that I just have to be conscious of based on my history. So yeah, I was like, wanted to end the summer on this like bright, sparkly note after having these like amazing like little birthday parties and so much good stuff and having friends visit and everything. And, you know, that's just kind of what came up for me. It really, really triggered me and I had a really hard time, but I feel like I'm on the tail end of it and just trying to stay positive. And the way that I talk to myself through it is that babying myself of like, you are capable and you can do this and it's going to be okay. And, you know, not everyone is seeing all of those things that you're seeing. And, you know, this photo is it's when you pause your TV when you're like watching TV, like,
or this podcast, like when we're literally recording these episodes and we like get a freeze frame and my mouth
yeah, it's
is
a
like,
freeze frame. Like a photo is a freeze frame and it's not always going to be the most flattering representation of who you are. So anyway, yeah, trying to get over the fear of getting my photo taken, getting over the fear of how other people perceive me and trying to get more comfortable in my body. So yeah, that's kind of what came up for me this summer. Lots of good and then just definitely some things surfacing that's like, hey, this is a pattern and what is this trying to tell me and how can we rewrite this narrative? So and anyway, I rambled a shit ton too.
No, I want to kind of feed off of that because I also had some body stuff come up this summer. On the retreat, we did a lot of movement and I'm athletic and I like really like to move my body. But we did yoga and I did hot yoga, but that's more of like a yoga flow where you're moving a lot and there's a lot more cardio. And in this, there was a lot of pigeon pose and, and a lot like our meditation was 20 minutes every day on our mats. And I sit in a chair when I meditate because of my knee injury.
Yep.
And so I didn't feel as able-bodied as anyone else there as well. And I was uncomfortable in a few of the instances, and I like would try to adjust myself, but I felt really insecure about making a spectacle and like making noises, and I had a large part of feeling out of my skin there, and like out of my normal was had to do with some of that stuff for myself as well. And it's funny, I was going to tell you too that it's hard to remember, and I'm trying to remember as well, because we had so many amazing parts of our summer, and then just mm-hmm. because we had these things come up does not like take away or diminish the good in it. And like, I kind of see this as like, we are moving through what's present for us in mm-hmm. this like state of ease. Not that it's easy, but it's a state of ease because we are doing the work and because we're navigating it from a place that we feel empowered instead of going against the grain or like not doing it. Not facing it.
Yeah. And I feel like we're able to get through it, not faster, but like you said, like it just doesn't, like that cry that I had in the Trader Joe's parking lot, which by the way, is not the first time I've cried in a Trader Joe's parking lot.
Said like every like millennial that exists. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are my people at? Mm-hmm. Came home, I allowed myself to feel sorry for myself and feel frustrated and feel upset for a few hours. And then I was able to kind of shake it off, take a long shower, really take care of myself, like put on my comfy little jammies and watch a movie and just kind of like soothe myself out of it. And that felt really, really good. Mm. Because previously it would have been weeks, if not immediately starting some pretty unhealthy coping mechanisms or behaviors that would just make me go even further from the direction of my goal, right? So
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That means a lot.
Yeah.
We doing it. It's good.
We out here. Speaking of coping mechanisms, I quit using weed probably 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I was having a particularly difficult day earlier this month, and I took an edible at night. It fucked me up, and I was like, I can't even do weed anymore.
Oh,
like, this
no.
is not fun. And it was just so funny because I woke up the next day and like felt like hungover. It was like a 5 milligram, like 1-to-1, like CBD THC. It was like nothing, you know. But I was just like so out of it. I ate until I was sick before I went to bed, and I'm just like, okay, apparently, like I'm really facing this stuff without a coping mechanism. Like, my body's told me, it's spoken, it's said, like, no girl, we're not letting you out of this. And I'm grateful and also a wee bit resentful of that, because I really could have used a break. But on my retreat, I learned a ton of new ways to celebrate myself and to regulate my nervous system and stay present in these like struggles that we're faced with.
Yeah.
We did so much ecstatic dance on retreat. First of all, I was like, I'm not fucking dancing during the day, like when it's light out. Second of all, I'm not dancing with other people. Third, I am not dancing sober ever.
Like, yeah, we've talked about that on the pod. That's like not something that
well, it wasn't it was a requirement, and I wound up really loving it, and feeling really proud of myself for being able to connect with music and let my body move without judgment and about like without letting other people worry about what that looked like. And so that was really that was really healing for me. I don't think it's something that will be a part of my regular routine, but yeah, it was an experience for sure.
That's really brave. And also just like letting go of that ego and being like, we're all here, we're all doing it.
All ego, like literally the entire trip was like me being like, we said we were never gonna do these things. We said we were never gonna do these things. Like, we don't do these things, you know, like judge. And my brain like literally broke in half. Like, it was like, oh my gosh, like you're trying to keep me safe because you're scared, and like, thank you, but I don't need this anymore. So like, we're just gonna fucking jump off the ledge and do it. And and then after that, it's always like a lot of healing and like, you need to lick my wounds a little bit and tend to myself and when I got home, I was just kind of like thrown back into it. So I'm going to have, I think, like a little bit longer of a hermit season than what I thought I was going to. I like thought I was coming out of it, but I'm definitely ready to go back in a little bit for the next couple weeks or so.
Good. And that's what's so cool is like, I mean, intensified heat aside, fall kind of feels like that to me, of like hunkering down a little bit and like staying the course and like starting fresh with like school. I don't know. It just feels like a new chapter when like the weather starts to change. So
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Good. Good. And you freed up yourself, you know, you freed up a lot of time to be able to do that. So
yeah. Yeah, I did. I'm really, really stoked about that. And it feels good. I've been on my phone a little bit less. I mean, some days, like Kaylee and I were talking, my like screen time yesterday was atrocious. But yeah, it feels good to be a little bit more intentional about that.
Yay.
So what are we talking about?
Yes. Let's take a quick break for our sponsors and then we'll get into it. If you know me, you know I'm always drinking 5 NA beverages at one freaking time. So I love having different concoctions to switch things up. That's why Dry Hard Pod partnered with High Street Tonics, a woman-owned, locally crafted range of organic herbal bitters and honey cider vinegar tonics. The restorative tonics support digestion and well-being through their herbal properties, and they make the most amazing mocktails. Use the link in our bio to shop their website and use code DRYHARDPOD for 10% off when you purchase.
As you all know, I'm obsessed with Reframe app. It's the number one alcohol reduction app. It's built to help you drink less. Whether your goal is to cut back or quit entirely, Reframe is life-changing. Daily Zoom support groups, a community forum, and challenges, podcasts, TED Talks, you name it, over 100 resources are accessible in this app at any given time. You can download Reframe app on iOS, use the 7-day free trial, and use code KATY, Katie, for 10% off your subscription.
I've been seeing these like truth commercials because I've been watching like, I don't know, some stuff with ads, and they've been like, I used to vape, but it made me feel, and just like, they're just like so cheesy, like those truth commercials. And some of them are like so hard not to laugh, but then there's other ones that are really good. Like there's this girl who's like misses the bus for her team like basketball match because she's like looking for her vape under the like lockers, and I have been that crazy person where I've like been in the car and my vape gets lost in between the things, or like my vape's dead and like now I'm just a psycho who has like 3 charged vapes ready to go and like a week and a half's worth of pods just like around my house, and it is not good. And I'm trying to set a quit date of October 1st. So,
oh my God, you fucking got this. I can't wait to help you and to be your support if you need it. But also, I'll shut the fuck up if you don't.
No, it's okay. I am very hesitant to like have, there's been many quit dates. I have some nicotine gum that's probably expired because of my previous plan to quit. But anyway.
Okay. So, welcome back to our TED Talk about Kaylee quitting vape.
Hi,
we're happy to have you.
And yeah, very much still a nicotine addict, and we're working on it.
It's fine, it's fine. Okay, so back in May, I had the intention of finishing season 1 of Dry Hard Pod with the Q&A episode. We were going to release episode 30 in June, but honestly, we got burnt out, and we were tired, we had trips coming up, and we were just like, let's just wait until we come back. So today's episode, now that we've got here, because we shared a little bit about our summers, we are going to be answering the questions that our listeners submitted back in May. And I'm really excited about this because some of them are fun, some of them are serious, and like some I'm like, I still don't know how I'm going to answer that, but we're going to. So bear with us while we get into this.
Yes. Okay, what's the first question, Katie?
Okay, Kaylee.
Yes.
What's your favorite snack?
Oh, this is so good. This is like just a total palate cleanser for all of the heavy stuff that we just talked about, because I will get lit up talking about my favorite snacks. I like love just like meat, cheese, crackers, olives, like give me a snack plate. even like, you know, like macaroni salad, like side dishes, like little tapas. like, remember, like, I guess these are hot. This is not an example of a cold food, but I also really love little smokies. And they're such a novelty now. Like, that and those cheese balls with the almonds on them.
Port of wine? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yes. I get so excited when I see, like, a classic snack at a party or something. But Katie was telling me about My Human Design, and I'm a projector. And that cold foods is something that, like, is part of my chart. So,
yeah, it's not a part of being a projector, but your specific chart. It's that's how you best digest food. It's cold food.
Yeah, which makes total sense. Like, I have been leaning way more into that, and I've been feeling like my energy levels are a little bit better. My stomach issues are getting resolved a little bit.
Can I elaborate on that a little bit for you?
Yeah, please.
Just because I have a little reflection to offer in this. There's no oils in cold food. Like, it's not being cooked with oils. And I wonder if that's it. We've been talking about the oil in food for years. Literally.
Dude, yeah. So, background for the listeners on my just a quick background on my IBS. Super important context that you were going to love to hear.
Yes. We all want to hear it. Do you know how many people who listen also have IBS, Kaylee? Literally,
yeah,
95%.
Well, and first of all, I will say that my stomach issues and all of that, and I've never been like diagnosed with like you have irritable bowel syndrome. It's just like, you know, all roads lead to that. So in terms of like symptoms, whatever I have, it's not enjoyable. And drinking helped a ton. So insane, the change not drinking. But every once in a while, especially when I go out to a restaurant, I get sick. I've done like elimination diets where I cut out dairy, I cut out gluten, I cut out random things. And then you slowly start to acclimate them back in one at a time to see if anything changes. Nothing changed. Everything was fine, but I would still kind of get these things. And I even if I would go to a breakfast restaurant and order the same fried eggs, you know, like sausage, potatoes,
and
whatever,
hash brown.
That, yeah. Yeah. Like whatever that I would make at home, I would get sick at the restaurant. At Sushi Station in Eugene, bless them, I would get their like deep fried cream cheese sushi rolls, and I would get so sick I like could not even get home without having to use their bathroom. So I think I talked about that on a previous episode. That was the episode I had to be cut out of my, or that was the situation where I had to be cut out of my shorts. Yeah, so I do think it's oil, and I do think that cold food is helping to kind of full circle this and get on a different topic.
And I wonder if that will, like, feeling good in your body will also help you feel good in your body. You know what I mean? Like, not feeling sick after you fucking eat. Mm-hmm. Like, that, I mean, that's a whole other episode that we should have, like, a registered dietitian or, like, you know.
Oh, I'd love that.
Like, a holistic health coach on or something to talk about that. But, like, there's so much to be said about our digestion and anxiety and all of that that's all tied together in one with our well-being. So,
yeah, it's crazy connected.
Thank you for sharing that. I actually am really excited it went in that way.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for letting me.
Okay, so snack plate bitch. That's your snack. That's who you are.
What do you got going on?
Okay, so as Kaylee and I were like brainstorming, I was like, what? Wait, what the? These questions are hard for me. I'm not like this is it. I don't really eat snacks, I realized.
Yeah, it was hard for me to think of something for Katie.
Yeah, because I like could tell you what you like to snack on. But for me, I'm like, I really like to eat 3 to 4 meals a day, and like big meals and hot meals. Like, I want like a heavy carb, and I want a protein, and I want veg, and I, you know, and I want fats. And like, I really like indulge when I eat my meals. And we've been cooking from home a lot, which has been feeling really, really healing. And so I just don't really snack. And even when I wasn't eating I'm not even eating healthy right now. I want to say like, maybe I'm just eating more wholesome, you know, if that makes sense. Like, I'm like diving in and like following a recipe and not just like fucking slam in something from the freezer in the microwave or whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which also like no shame, because we all got to do what we got to do.
Yep.
Whenever we got to do it. Okay. Anyways, not a huge snacker. However, I love the everything but the bagel Trader Joe's nut mix.
Yeah.
And shout out to Macy. She is a friend of mine. She has her own podcast called Well as Hell. So check that out if you're like a runner or like into women's health and mental health, period. She's great. But she just posted this on her story the other day. It was like, what the fuck? Why have I not been eating these for forever? And I'm like, dude, they're the shit. And I really like to pair it with the dried mandarin oranges that they have in their like pantry section.
Yeah, you got those for our birthday.
Yeah, it's like
for our birthday, for
our birthday. It's like that little bit of sweet and salty that I just love. Like my stoner palate will never go away. Like it's forever here.
Yeah.
Oh, and then if you ever go to the gas station on your way out of town and you do not get the Snyder's honey mustard pretzel bits, you're literally insane.
I love me a trashy road snack, not to like call your snack trashy.
That is trashy.
Like, that's right. But like, if I'm going to go drive to Eugene, I am getting myself like a bag of Gardettos and like a large Monster energy drink. No fucks given. Yes. Like,
so that's so funny because whenever we go out of town, my daughter always begs for Pringles. So it's like five times a year she gets a thing of Pringles and I always wind up fucking demolishing them. And she actually feels sad. Like she can never trust me with her Pringles. And so she starts like when I'm like, okay, go pick out your snack. Now she grabs a sleeve for me and a sleeve for her.
That's
and,
smart.
Yeah. And I then like wind it. And she's one of those kids who I bless her for having this self-control that I do not. But she will just eat a couple of her Pringles and put the lid back on like a psychopath and then not eat them for like 6 hours. And I pour them into my mouth as I'm driving and like get as many chips in at one time as I can. And she's like, if you just like pace yourself, you would like have them for longer, Katie. And I'm like,
duh, but that sucks.
Yeah, I want to like choke on them. I physically want to not be able to swallow because there's so much in my mouth. Anyways, honey mo till I die.
Honey mo. Honey mus.
Honey mus. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to read the next question. Good tasting NA wines that we've tried.
Okay. My NA wine palate was not very developed until this summer. Thousand Hours Dry and my friend Chelsea over at Mixed Without on Instagram. She runs like an amazing mocktail low and no Instagram account. Check her out. She got us the hookup with discount codes for Dry July.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had all of these companies sending me free product because we were going to be repping them through Thousand Hours Dry. And shout out to Sip Clean. They sent me some of their wines, their white wine. And it comes in cans, which I love because then I can just like take two with me.
Yeah.
And I think there's two glasses in each can.
Oh, cool.
Which is like a shareable can.
Yeah.
But it's alcohol removed wine.
Okay.
It's not alcohol free wine, which I think is really important to talk about because any of the alcohol free wines I've tasted do not taste like wine. They taste more like a juice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like no shade because also I love me a fancy juice.
Yeah.
But the alcohol removed wines actually have a lot of those same like the bitterness and the dryness. I should say dryness, not bitterness. And like the it is actually wine. They just take the alcohol out of it after it's been made. And same with Drink Joyous. I fucking love Joyous. I love their rosé.
Yeah, they're my favorite.
Yeah, I just took two bottles to my friend Chelsea's 1 year alcohol-free birthday. We just celebrated on Friday. Yeah, we like had a snack plate, thought of you. We drank rosé and then I made mocktails and we hot tubbed and did tarot and it was just like so good. It was great.
That sounds amazing.
Great girl time. But yeah, so I would say Joyous and I can get that at like Market of Choice and some of the other like higher end grocery stores here or I can order it online. They're all located in Seattle and I believe it's a women-owned business. And then Sip Clean is women-owned and it's a woman winemaker.
Nice.
Which is really cool. And Joyous might be as well. But yeah, so those are my two recommends.
I will definitely jump on the Drink Joyous train. They were also just recently featured in Forbes, I think, if you want one with like accolades. They were at a like a Portland market thing that I went to. So I got to sample their rosé and their white, which I loved both. And then Free, like F-R-E with a little accent over the E. That one is, I found, like, more accessible. I've seen that at my liquor store and also, like, Fred Meyer. Or, you know, I'm sure a Safeway or something like that. I'm realizing, like, these are more local, like, Northwest chains. But, yeah, take look out for that one. And then Einz Y Zero is another good one that I've seen at Whole Foods.
Einz Y.
Yeah, and those ones come in little cans, which I love. Love a can wine.
Yeah, same. I, like, want to keep a little trash.
Yeah, but now I'm going to look to see which ones are alcohol-free versus alcohol removed.
And I will say, with alcohol removed, it could be triggering for people who feel like they really don't want to taste alcohol, because it does. Mm-hmm. It very much so does. It's almost like, you know, some of the people are not a huge fan of, like, the alcohol-free spirits that taste like gin and taste like whiskey. It's kind of in that category as far as wine goes.
Mm. That's good to know.
Yeah, some people don't love that. And I could see that, especially at the beginning. For me, it would have been really, like, triggering, because I'm like, okay, but where's the fucking buzz?
Yeah, and here's – so I've actually been moving away from drinking – I never really drank NA beer because I was not a beer drinker previously. And NA wine and things like that, for me, realizing that that's not actually, like, my favorite flavor of a thing – and sometimes it is still really fun for special occasions, but one of the hugest benefits to me has been, like, not spending a ton of money. So it's hard sometimes to still buy, like, a $25 bottle of wine versus I've been getting, like, a fuck ton of soda waters, because as a previous, like, binger, now I'm just binging soda waters, and I loved always having something in my hand to drink. So I've been getting, like, the Lagunitas hop water. Today I'm drinking the Pelican Brewing Sparkle Hops, more, like, delicious beverages that come in a can, like limoncello, LaCroix,
totally.
You got that on lock, and buying all of those cans of things are, like, I don't know, like $11-$15. I don't know. It just feels more guilt-free for me, but that's what I've been working with. So there's a lot of different ways to go about, finding, like, what your replacement drink is.
Yeah, and then there's the other ones that I really like to buy for special occasion too, is, like, Drink Recess. They're great.
Yeah,
Take a Recess. Recess is awesome. We actually, I think, are going to be partnering with some new brands this season. I haven't got everything set in stone, but we might have some discount codes for you all. If that's something that you want or you're interested in, please, like, hit us up, send us a DM, let me know what brands it is that you like. Like,
yeah,
we would love to be able to kind of get some feedback about that too. Maybe I'll do, like, a survey in the stories.
Cool. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So anyways, what's your favorite self-care thing that's not too expensive?
Yes. Period. I lately have been really enjoying reading my romance fantasy books.
A KOTAR,
Court of Thorns and Roses. It's a fairy, steamy sex scene, fantasy, war between worlds sort of thing. And I'm super into it. And I'll take it out on my balcony with, like, a nice coffee in the morning, or I'll set up my hammock in our little backyard and just, like, reading in the sun with a bev. This summer has been kind of, like, my go-to. Yeah. What about you, Katie?
Okay. Well, I'm a broken record because I've been talking about these ones for a while. And I feel like self-care is such a broad term, so I'm going to, like, cover a couple different things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been, like, a go-to for me lately. But there's...
Yeah.
Like, even, like, brushing my hair before bed, dude. That's been a new game changer.
I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah.
But you look so cute doing that, too. Like, your long golden locks. I'm here for it. I should do that with this mess. Like, that would be beneficial. So my go-to self-care, not like something that I do to treat myself, but something that I do every day, is meditate and wash my face. And then I've also been reading a lot. And I also listen to books and I listen to podcasts a lot. So that's definitely something that's self-care for me. Like, even today we're prepping the house to be painted, and I've been trying to save some money, and so I am prepping the house instead of paying someone $30 an hour to do it. And it is so much work, and, like, I bless people who do this work, because I'm like, I cannot caulk another fucking hole in my house, my arm is going to fall off. And however, like, so many podcasts have gotten me through this project. So I really like that for self-care. And then moving my body.
Yeah.
Yeah, like going on walks. Iris and I have been riding our bike a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Have you forgot what being drunk is like?
Okay. This literally just happened to me a couple days ago. I flipped my hair upside down in the hot shower.
Okay.
Like, I was like, flip my hair upside down because I was like, I want to like scrub my scalp. I've been getting some buildup on like my crown, and I think it's from, I use an all natural like dry shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just not scrubbing the center of my head enough to get it out. So
yeah. For sure.
That's what's happening with me and my scalp. So I like flipped my head upside down and I got super lightheaded and I almost passed out, and I like slammed my shoulder into our sliding door on the shower and it like came off the tracks and I like fell down and like essentially like did everything I could not to hurt myself. And I'm pretty sure I've had that exact same scenario happen while I've been drinking. So I was like,
yeah,
this is what it feels like to be drunk. And I didn't feel good afterward. I was like, I hate this. But I sometimes will wake up from dreams and feel like a lot of shame or like have weird feelings, and it reminds me of a hangover, especially if I don't get enough sleep. So like maybe less I remember what a like feeling being drunk is like, but I more so remember what I felt like the next day pretty vividly.
Yeah, drinking dreams for sure like feel very real, and then you like wake mm-hmm. up with kind of this like but I'm you know, but my 2 years almost coming up, and like it didn't even feel worth it, and like
you cheated.
Yeah mm-hmm. In terms of like the specific buzz and the feeling, it's hard because I don't feel like I ever got to that like chasing the dragon, like perfect kind of like tipsy, fun, giggly, a little bit looser tongued. Mm-mm. Like
that's like a far away dream that we were always like wanting to experience and we never did.
Yeah, no, I would go straight from like being, you know, at my resting state to being sick and throwing up. So there's been a couple times where I've like drank too much caffeine and I've gotten really anxious and
oh yeah,
I feel like I'm gonna throw up. And that maybe doesn't necessarily feel at all like being drunk, but it does make me it just gives you all of those flashbacks of like, you know, any time that you're facing down the barrel of a toilet. So, yep, that's okay. Me.
No. Sorry. Pause. I'm like, oh, it's 8:45. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, let's get through these last ones.
No, but this is a great time. I'm having the best time with you. Okay. Kaylee, what is the most unexpected change that you've experienced as a result of not drinking? This is such a good question.
This could definitely like be a total separate episode. But I think a lot of what we were talking about in the beginning about our summers, and like I didn't realize that even when shitty situations would happen to me, like things that I've experienced that were really hard and emotions that got brought up that, you know, reminded me of being like a middle schooler, just like stuff that I'm like, oh, I haven't felt this sad in like a really long time. How quickly been able to like navigate that. And it's still like never as bad or as devastating or horrifying or, you know, as it would have been. Bad things are maybe happening, or hard things or tough times, but I feel like we're not creating new trauma as a result of it, or like there's some sort of like barrier protection around that, if that makes sense. Like just the ability to kind of not let it sink in to the point of wrecking me and I'm in bed in like a manic depressive state for yeah, I just like didn't really know that things could get that good, or that I would be that my feelings would be so different. It's hard to explain, even though like I can point to like, okay, like these things happen and these are really tough and this did feel really hard and I had a really heavy cry. I was still like good. Like at my core, I was like, I'm good. Like this isn't forever. And actually being able to believe that, was like, oh shit, okay. It's just felt like an achievement unlocked. So
I love that.
What about you?
Dude, fuck yeah. That's so powerful. It's so
true. Yeah, it's fucking cool.
Mine, I don't know. It was so hard. I actually didn't even write anything because I was like, I just have to let this flow because what's true for me today may not be the most unexpected thing a week from now, you know? But I think that I guess I didn't realize that when I made the decision to stop drinking alcohol, that I would also have the ability to make big decisions about other parts of my life that I wasn't happy with.
True. So much has changed for you. Like you're mm-hmm. even just your day to day, like mm-hmm. working from home, like you list off so many ways in which your life is different.
Yeah. And I, you know, I am like kind of like have put my toe in like the like new age, you know, world. And I really love The Magic Is in the Middle. She talks about how quitting alcohol like is like the catalyst and like a quantum leap, right? Like that's like it's a good visual too, because it like really took all of the goals and the dreams and the things that I wanted to do and it made them tangible.
Yeah.
And it gave me the ability to take the steps to take responsibility for decisions in life and about my life and to like take the steps I needed to make changes to the things that weren't working for me anymore.
Dude, that's so well put. Like, I feel like the quantum leap, so much has happened, even just in like the past 3 months that mm-hmm. have been like huge game changers. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like, yeah, things are sped up in the most positive mm-hmm. way. Like I feel like I'm 5 years
ahead,
mentally ahead of where I was before I quit drinking. So that's I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. And it also gave me the ability to suss out like what was just like not working, because like, you know, when you're drinking, you don't have the ability to feel because we're numbing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can't feel, we're ignoring the things that don't feel good.
Yeah.
And like a lot was not feeling good about myself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like just like my relationship with myself wasn't great. And so, yeah, that was the biggest thing. Like when I quit drinking, I wasn't like, this is going to change my life. I was like, I'm quitting drinking because I feel like fucking shit and I cannot do this anymore. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Was just it wasn't to try like, and stop feeling so fucking horrible.
Yeah. It wasn't like I'm going to quit drinking and I'm going to start talking about it on my Instagram and I'm going to make a podcast and I'm going to change the environment that my job is in and I'm going to, you know, like improve the relationships in my life and I'm going like you just don't know that those are the things that you'll get in return for mm-hmm. making that decision. And not to say that everyone gets there and it doesn't feel good the whole time. Like I didn't feel good the whole time. Like I was like, this is not a great day. I still can't drink, but
yeah, especially the first like 3 to 6 months,
and then like the year mark too. I was like pretty shitty. That was 9 months ago, 8 months ago. Wow. But yeah, so I think that would be the biggest thing that the most unexpected change that I've experienced.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Love that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Sobriety and parenting. So I won't have a whole lot to add to this topic, even though I'm one of those that like refers to Bagel and Monster as the kids.
I refer to my pets as kids too. So
yeah,
it's
yeah,
totally
but
fine.
100% completely different. They are not affected by my radical life changes. So but what about you, Katie? I feel like that's a good question. And there's probably so many people that are just going through that and experiencing that and how that changes, you know, being present for your kids and stuff.
Yeah. Well, a factor in my quitting drinking was the experience I had through COVID working full time. And, you know, I'm a step parent. We have Iris 1 week on and 1 week off. So mm-hmm. this is just a perspective of me as a part-time parent. So I cannot even fucking imagine for those of you who have your children full-time or doing it without a partner or without, you know, like a co-parenting like cohort like I have. And there was just so much grief and so much change in the world during that time. And like adding, you know, helping facilitate an education for my daughter, which I'm so grateful I was even able to do that, right? Like to have my kid at work is insane. So blessed. But I didn't have the tools to show up to that that Iris deserved or that I deserved. And mm-hmm. so that's when my drinking really picked up, was in that scenario. Mm-hmm. In Oregon, our students were home for a year and a half. So yeah. one full year and then like 4.5 months of the year before. So some states went back in 2 months, you know, and, mm-hmm. and we didn't. So it was a very long time. And I was unhappy at my job at the time as well. And I just didn't know how to ask for help. And I was drinking a lot after yeah. work and after school. Yeah. And I was hungover and I was irritable. And I could just tell that this is not allowing me to show up the way that I want to as a mom or mm-hmm. as a co-parent or mm-hmm. as a wife, you know. So quitting drinking was not hard on my relationship with my daughter. Like in the sense where like I don't feel like I was like irritable with her or like, you know, there wasn't any like outbursts or things like that. I mean, there was some rough patches where I was trying to figure out how to navigate what to do instead of drink. Mm-hmm. I put a lot of my time and energy into my relationship with her when I quit. And I think that was a little overwhelming for her. She's like, okay, I don't want to hang out with you. I want to go to my room and do something else. And I'm like, but will you do a puzzle with me? You know?
Oh. Yeah.
But since then, as a parent, I don't want to say improved, but my outlook has changed on parenting. Like before, I was like holding myself to just this unrealistic expectation of perfection in my parenting relationship, and that bled out onto the people that I co-parent with.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I quit drinking, I was like, I don't have to be perfect. Like there is no such thing as perfect. And yeah. like I have all these people that I can, you know, use for help and talk to and, you know, communicate with and ask for my needs to be met as well. And it's that's overall made me a more reliable, more level-headed parent. Like I can self-regulate now like I wasn't able to before. You know, like I'm meditating every day and like getting 8 hours of sleep. So like that alone makes me just show up in like a better place for myself. And I right. think that's really reflected in my relationship with my daughter. And I'm so grateful because, you know, she's entering seventh grade and things are getting real for her, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. she's going through some very valid and very difficult circumstances to and like navigating those as an almost 13-year-old is just really, really, really hard. And so I'm glad that I can be this parent now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's just so much there. And we're really excited because I know we're having at least one sober, alcohol-free mom on the podcast this season. Her name's Amy, and I'm really excited for everyone to get to have that conversation with her about parenting and single parenting. That episode is going to blow everyone's mind. So
yeah, I'm so excited
about that. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the next question.
Yeah, nothing to contribute. Next.
You probably do. You've seen me parent through all these changes. And like, you know, as a child, you had parents who drank. Like we have lots of knowledge about this, you know, more than what we might realize.
Yeah.
Are your partners sober?
No. Danny isn't, but it has really kind of worked for us. His relationship with alcohol, I feel like he has a pretty conscious relationship with alcohol, and he doesn't usually drink very often, and he's one of those annoying people that can have like a beer or two with dinner and then just like go about his entire day. Like binging is really not something that he is known for, and in terms of like behavior changes and stuff like that, I don't know, I don't want to like glorify alcohol by being like I love when my boyfriend drinks because he's like just super funny and affectionate, but like it really doesn't affect me. That's me personally. There are some times where, especially if we're like going on vacation or like doing something, I feel, if it's just me and him, like kind of guilty or worried about, you know, controlling his time and making sure that he's having fun, and if he's going out with his sober girlfriend versus if he was hanging out with his friends who drink. You know, I think I have some insecurities about that. And there's definitely sometimes where I will think like, oh, like what am I doing this all for? Like you're getting a drink, like I want to get a drink too. And like that's just me to navigate that. And I think like setting boundaries with your partner and yeah, navigating that can be really hard, but like in general it's not really been something that affects me negatively, and we obviously both drink when we got together. So I would like to hear other people's opinions on it. I think it'd be difficult to ask someone to change something that you previously accepted about them. But also, like, it is really important to, I don't know, to like be growing together. And I think it really depends on like what relationship your partner has with alcohol and how that affects you and how that affects your relationship. So yeah, but it works for us. Dude, there's been a bottle of white wine in our fridge for like a month and a half. And that, I will say, like, it's just been good. But he usually drinks beer, and when he has drinks that are like drinks that I would like, he's been getting into White Claws and white wine, and I'm like, okay, this is like
this is gonna be a problem. It needs to go in your mini fridge.
Yeah, these might like not need to be in the house, because I do like look at it a little bit too long every time I open the fridge. So yeah. Anyway,
that's
sorry.
That's so real.
Yeah.
I love that, because I have a totally different situation.
Yeah.
Which is cool that we like aren't in the same boat with this. Mm-hmm. When my husband and I met, I was 22 and he was 23. And I definitely was like still in my party phase, because I like feel like there was a party phase, then there was a lull, and then there was like COVID drinking is kind of how my history with alcohol has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
And so when I met him, it was like it was with all of my other partners that I had been with. Like when I would drink, I would go overboard and we would fight.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of behavior that I would exhibit in those situations that was and would be probably considered abusive. I was belligerent. emotionally. I wouldn't say physically that I was ever aggressive, but I was aggressive verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't always go like that. Sometimes we had so much fun, like so much fun. But the hangovers just got really bad. Yeah. And it wasn't great for our relationship when we did drink. And then so a couple years into our relationship, we weren't drinking heavily at this point at all. But Steve made the decision that he was no longer going to drink because he wanted to take control of his health.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt really important from him. And the hangovers were just so bad. And so he quit drinking, just quit. Like, I didn't even say that he was quitting drinking. He just stopped drinking. And then one day I was like, you've said no to a beer like 7 times in the last 3 months. Like, are you not drinking? And he's like, no.
Dope.
And he started vaping really heavily then, though.
Yeah.
So he just kind of went with that. And he was the type of person who would just drink on occasion. So like we would go on vacation and he would have like 3 beers on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like at his bachelor party, he got hammered and was so miserable. And then at our wedding, he drank. And then I think he's had one shot of whiskey, not a shot, like sipped on one like nice scotch since we got married in 2019.
Like quiet quitting, but for drinking.
Yeah. He's just, oh wait, no, that's not true. We both drank when we went to Mexico.
Oh yeah.
We had that situation. That was the last time he drank, but it was really good for our relationship when he quit, because A, it takes two to tango, you know? And
yeah.
So I just continued to like have wine nights with my girlfriends, and like then when COVID came around, like start really drinking solo. And it did put a wedge between us, I would say, though, because like he made it very clear that like I was welcome to have drinks, but like we did our own thing. Like he would play video games with his buddies or go to the gym, and like I would mow the lawn and like drink White Claws.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of spent less time together when I was drinking.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Our intimacy struggled when I was drinking because like he was like not trying to like have deep connection with me while I like smelled like booze or had been drinking. You know, it's not the same when you're sober.
Feels weird to not be on the same like wavelength.
Yeah. And so when I quit drinking, it was funny because like I guess I like didn't realize like my husband had been sober curious for years, like 5 years before I quit drinking. And like I never considered him sober curious. I had never heard that term. Like there wasn't like a space for him. He wasn't like going to meetings or, you know, that's just not, it wasn't his relationship with alcohol.
He just wasn't really drinking that much anymore.
Yeah. And then like once I quit drinking, I was like, why the fuck did you not tell me about this? Because he never said a thing about my drinking ever. Like, ever. honestly, I think he kind of enabled it. He'd be like, you want a beer? Like, you know, he just wanted to be like accommodating for me. And I don't think he realized the extent in which like and how unhappy I was with its role in my life. Until I started being like, I'm going to quit drinking. And then 2 days later, I'd be drinking again. And he's like, hey, but he still never said anything.
I hated that phase of like, don't fucking hold me accountable. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, do you want me to support you?
And he would never. One time I asked if he would hold me accountable and he was like, no. Not my job.
No, thank you. Do not want to open that fucking can of worms.
No, And we had been together. You have to consider we'd been together for 7.5 years when I quit drinking. So, like, we're very established. Coming up on 9 years in October.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, that was my experience with it. And, yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, I did used to fear that Steve was judging me for the way I was consuming alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you kind of have a fear of judgment of, like, being lame because you don't drink alcohol, you know? So it's, like, interesting that that piece plays in, like, both scenarios.
Yeah, except for, like, when I was drinking, like, I would like burst into tears and like cry and like make a fucking scene in public and like all of the stuff that like he's probably so grateful I don't do anymore. Bless him. So
yeah. And then like also like just your mental health the next day, like how bad you felt and how sad that was, because I was going through that too. And Steve was always the best hangover buddy. He would like always put on a good show for me and bring me what I needed and like food and, you know, so sweet. Aww. Yeah. Okay. What's next?
This is a really good one to end on because I think that this is something that people struggle with a lot and was definitely a reason why I put off starting to change my relationship with alcohol, which is, how do you beat your desire to drink when you're bored?
So this is a hard one for me because I hope you have something to add, because I wasn't a boredom drinker. That's not where my triggers came from. So I think maybe if you cover the boredom, then I'll cover the craving and like the stress drinking.
Yeah, totally. So I definitely have noticed through my like alcohol-free journey that there's a ton of other triggers that I have too. Like, I don't really know how to deal with the emotion of feeling angry. Like frustrated. Like when I had that breakdown about my weight and just like, fuck, dude, like I quit drinking. I got off hormonal birth control. I was just frustrated and I just went immediately into fuck it mode. But I also don't really know how to like sit with myself. So beating the desire to drink when I'm bored has looked like allowing myself and giving myself the freedom to do leisurely things. Really, especially in the beginning, having that mentality of like, as long as I'm not drinking, I'm good. Like if I was drinking, I would be still wasting a bunch of time sitting in front of the TV, or like going out and spending a fuck ton of money and not remembering my night, right? So like, what is the harm in not, you know, working on my bills or my finances or watching a documentary or like expanding my mind? Like I always feel like I need to be like either exercising, educating, or like self-improving, and or like cleaning and organizing. And like it's actually been so fun and cool to be like, God, I'm feeling, obviously there's a million things I could probably be doing, right? Like I could probably do a load of laundry, but I'm bored and I'm like, I have cabin fever and I don't know what I want to do. Just like I've been doing cross stitch, I've been knitting, I've been doing freaking crafts, I've been playing video games, I've been playing my Switch, I've been like laying in bed and watching a movie and then like having something to keep my hands busy. So I'll have like a TV show on while I'm playing my Switch, or like be cross-stitching while I'm listening to a podcast, or like while I'm watching a movie. It's still hard for me to do just one thing. I think it's so easy to just like need a lot of stimulation. But I am just like doing whatever things and not allowing myself to feel guilty about it. So the really cool thing about not drinking is you're going to go back to a lot of things that you like enjoyed in childhood and kind of have this like awesome moment where you're like playing Pokemon on your Game Boy and, you know, watching The Sandlot and being like, this is fucking sick, dude. Like you're going to like go back to a lot of those things that you really enjoy and just like reaching out to people. And I feel like with not drinking, I've really been able to deepen my friendships because I call and will be, you know, on the phone with people, which I know isn't everyone's thing.
But we talk on the phone like so much. Our friend group does. We talk on the phone for hours.
Yeah, we talk on the phone so much. Like I probably talk on the phone for at least like 3 hours a week at the minimum. Just catching up and seeing how people are. And, you know, it's hard. People are busy, and but we'll just call each other like whenever we're just doing, I don't know, chores or
whenever we're bored and trying not to drink.
yeah, exactly. So just, yeah, really been able to like commit to friendships and also like plan bigger things to look forward to with all that money I'm saving. Get a bunch of freaking swimplies, dude. If you're bored, go for a dip. So that's what I've been working with, is just all these things I forgot about from my childhood, or just like things that I used to feel guilty for doing that now I'm like, I have so much fucking free time. I got all my laundry done and did all this shit, and now I'm gonna fuck off and play video games. It's good. It feels good.
So it's actually funny when you say that, because I was like, oh, I didn't bored drink. However, I have created a schedule that does not allow me to be bored.
Yeah.
I think that was the key for me when I quit drinking. So like I would bring my workout clothes with me to work and then change and drive directly to the gym, because I knew if I would go home, then I would stop and get the White Claws and then I would drink at home and I wouldn't go to the gym. And like,
yeah.
So creating accountability nuggets like through those boredom periods, like scheduling a phone call with your friend when you would normally go home and drink. Because we can say it's we're drinking in boredom all we want, but like really what we're doing is we're drinking because we had a long day and we want to check out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I did, is I just kind of would like schedule things that would hold me accountable to those certain times of the day. Because I definitely had that pattern of like, okay, if I don't go to the gym, or if I don't have a call with my mom, or if I don't FaceTime this person, or if I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm so much more likely to just go home and start drinking wine while I make dinner.
Yeah. And I think honestly, like, do that. Like, do whatever you need to do to distract yourself until you start to build up the tools that allow you to, you know what I mean? Like, that's totally fine.
Yeah. Because now I'm like, fuck, I want to be bored so bad.
Yeah.
Like, now that I'm at this point of abstinence for this long, I feel like. However, if you're like looking to just cut back on drinking and you are not wanting to, you know, be completely alcohol free, that rule still applies.
Mm-hmm.
It still applies. Like, go to the gym on a Friday night and then schedule a coffee date early a Saturday morning with a friend so that you have these accountability, like, appointments in place. Mm-hmm. And then at night, you know, after the gym, you, like, go home and you make yourself dinner and you wash your face and you get in bed and you watch TV for 3 hours instead of drinking an entire bottle of wine.
Yeah, dude, that's what my therapist would say when we were originally trying to kind of plan out how I was going to stop drinking or at least like cut back, was what we were trying to do from the beginning. And she was like, just see how long you can go. So yeah, like do the gym class after work, then stop by Trader Joe's and then get home and then make yourself dinner. And then yeah, like you will still want to fuck off and drink, but there's really only a certain amount of time after doing all of that stuff all day that you can actually stay awake. And so you're not going to be able to cram 2 bottles in. Like you just won't be able to. So naturally, the amount that you're consuming is going to go down. Totally. And that's going to start getting you to be like feeling a little bit better. And then it just kind of builds from there. So.
Mm-hmm. And then also, like, if you're someone who likes a meeting and like wants to hang out with other people who are looking for those, lots of resources for sober meetups on Zoom. There's AA. There are like Reframe app has an awesome place for that too. So those resources can really come in handy depending on what your goals are as well.
Hell yeah.
Okay, well, I can't believe we are wrapping up on our first episode of this season. It's so exciting.
I know. It feels really good to be back and kind of getting into the groove of things. And then, yeah, we have a bunch of really cool stuff lined up for this season. Really want to do more special guests and get other people's perspectives and life experience to share with you all. So there's even more people that you can relate to. And then a range of topics that we're really excited to cover and kind of expand on. So
yeah. So there's a couple of changes that we're making to the pod. We are releasing bi-weekly on Sundays. So Kaylee and I really want to channel some of our energy into the quality of content in our episodes, and we want to honor our own time and everyone else's as well. And with that, we have decided to release less so that you're getting more from the show.
Yeah.
And like, also, we're trying to have some more time to ourselves. Like, yeah. I just said that I want to be bored. And I feel like it's always better when, like, when we have some experience to bring to the table. And we're so excited to have guests on that can share with you as well. We have, right now, I have 6 guests confirmed for this season. So stay tuned for all of those. I can't wait to announce them as we roll out the episodes. We are still running our Patreon if you're interested in it. It's under construction right now. I know that we have circled around merch a little bit. So yeah, we've just got some really big, exciting things coming for you all. And we're so excited and feel so connected with everyone that listens and all the things that you share with us. It feels really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Sick. Thank you so much for listening. We love you so much. And Katie, it was really good to get to touch base with you.
I know. Love you. I love you too. All right. Okay. Until next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.